Tuesday evening, December 3rd.
Lord, we ask for your blessing on our meeting here tonight. That you would be with us, that your spirit would be upon us, O Lord, that you would guide us. Guide us in the way that you would have us to go, O Lord. Guide us in the truth. Guide us, O Lord, by your spirit. Guide us to be more like Jesus. Oh, by your spirit, do that good, good work, O Lord. Guide us, O Lord, as a shepherd guides its flock of sheep. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
We've been talking a lot lately about veterans. Get my feet to work tonight. And so this morning, I looked up the word baptism in the dictionary, and a good spiritual place to look. And anyway, they said that it's the objective of water being stolen or being, you know, whatever. But the word baptism, as far as I know, means immersion. But I think because what the dictionary does is it goes by what the normal churches do, and so they have changed the word baptism so that it means the putting forth of water or the sprinkling or whatever. And if I remember right, we heard the word sprinkling being like a rondizo or something, a different, is a different Greek word. And so when Jesus said, remember he told his disciples, he said, can you be baptized with the same baptism that I'm baptized with? And the word is not the sprinkling of water. It's the immersion aspect of it. Can you be immersed with the same immersion that I'm going to be immersed with? And so, baptism means immersion. It means a total under the water thing. And we can see, like in Romans 6, we can see where it is the death, burial, and resurrection. It is burial. It's not just a sprinkling of water, but it is a burial, you know, underneath the water. And so, and it really, I don't know that water is the total substance that we want to look at, but it's an immersion into something. So, it, you know, where it says that if we're baptized into Christ, we have put on Christ. And I'm thinking that the word actually, it means if we are immersed into Christ, we put him on. So the word immersion becomes a vital key. I'm having a little trouble talking, but I'll do the best I can. So I'll try to just talk.
Surely you're right, though.
Yeah.
Immersed.
Boom.
All over.
Well, that's what a baptism always was, immersed.
And even if we didn't have the term, you know, when he came out of the water, or, you know, I mean, it's obviously in and out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very much so. Even without the dictionary explanation, it's obvious that it's immersion.
Yeah. So we what we have is baptism now, by convenience and not by, you know, we conveniently sprinkle. I shouldn't say we, but people do it.
Well, I think my sister kind of identified the problem. She didn't want to get her hair wet and her all messed up, you know, so she
didn't want to look uncomely.
Yeah, right. So she, sprinkling works a whole lot better on that account.
Oh, yeah.
But, hey, what are we in this deal to look good? You know,
I hope not.
I do too.
You know, and maybe this is a good time to bring this up as a prayer, that so the rest of our discussion, I thought the other day, I went, Lord, so if this baptism is so important, which it seems to be, then I would think you would want to show us what it's about. Right? I mean, if it's that important, then why isn't it more obvious in a sense? And so, Lord, I pray that you would give us what we need to know about this baptism.
Yes, amen.
You know, because if it is that important, then I don't know why, in a sense, he would withhold it from us.
I don't know what you guys talked on Sunday. I wasn't here. But then, I mean, since last Tuesday, we talked about baptism quite a bit. And I don't like to say I was thinking, but I was thinking. About it.
Well, let's say meditate.
Meditate.
Yeah.
And, you know, as I'm listening to the scriptures and whatever, and like you said, it's a lot to be understood. And I have learned everything that I know about baptism. 75% of it I've learned in the last 3 months than whatever I knew. So then I'm like, well, should I get baptized again because I know more? But now I'm also meditating. And I'm trying to, because Peter says, or Second Peter, whatever, it's like, and you know, you do this with a good conscience and whatever. And then, you know, in Acts 2, it says, you know, be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. So those basics, when I got baptized, I did have those basics. I did have the remission, baptized in the name of Jesus by the remission of sins and whatever. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if, so I got baptized. So I wonder if everything that we are learning about baptism is a way for the Lord to say, and I'm going to, you know, speak in first person, and saying like, you know, the Lord speaking, let's say, Pablo, this is why you got baptized. And then he's revealing all the thing of why you got baptized. You know, see, this is what it meant, what you did when you got baptized. But I don't know that you need to, I don't know, I didn't know what I know now about baptism. So I wonder, again, hey, yes, Pablo, you got baptized, and this is what it meant when you did that, and it also means this for when you did get baptized. But I don't know that in order for us to baptize someone, or for us to be baptized for the first time ever, need to know everything there is to know about baptism, because then maybe you'll never get baptized, because, you know.
Sure.
But that's just in my meditating, you know, maybe we do need to know everything there is to know, but maybe not. Maybe it's like, it's just everything that we're learning about baptism right now is just God showing us what is it that we did.
Yeah, and I was thinking, so what happened with the disciples? Where or whatever did the knowledge come for baptism?
Yeah, well, they baptized more than John the Baptist did.
Yeah, because in his Gospels, If that's where it would have to be learned, wouldn't it? In a sense? I mean,
yeah.
Because they had nothing else before Jesus.
Right, for baptism.
You know? So, and then like you were just saying, I'm wondering, are we trying to make more out of it than we need to at this point?
Mm-hmm.
Because, but then, according to what I just prayed, that he would show us, so.
Yeah. Right.
If there is actually more to know, or what there is to know, then we say, Lord, please tell us, because why would you withhold it from us? We want to be doing what's right. You know?
Right.
I guess my own feeling is that our focus on it is a spirit-led deal. And that... And just as you prayed, if the focus is on it, it is like the Holy Spirit to uncover bit by bit by bit more, you know. And I think that has been happening. It has been happening for me anyway. You know?
Yeah, I bet.
More things have, and who's to know? Who's to say what's in the future? I guess for myself, I have thought kind of what you were saying, that learning more about it gives some significance to what I earlier did, but it didn't necessarily mean that, hey, I got to do it all over again now that I, you know. No, it just shed light on what had happened to me earlier. I changed that a little bit, though. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm all set to get baptized again, but when I reach a point where I am truly and fully actually putting on Christ,
mm-hmm,
in that process. Before I kind of words. But when it becomes a real deal for me, I think at that point, I want to go through the real deal of a baptism in which it is,
mm-hmm,
the death and resurrection of Christ in some, mm-hmm, realer way than,
yeah,
realer way than,
yeah,
currently going on. And I'm really,
yeah,
putting on Christ. That,
yeah.
Yeah.
You know. Well, what if you take how Pablo was saying it and you say, Lord, bring me to the place of that baptism I had where I really have this?
I suppose.
Right.
I mean, could that happen?
That could.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it should. I'm just,
yeah,
if that could happen, where to where it's not necessarily needed to be baptized again. It's like, just give me the Lord, show
further,
me the fullness, yeah, of what this is about, that I, and give it to me, mm-hmm, that I can live it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. That is true. I guess I should have changed it a little bit. If I felt led, no. To make this deal real for you, do it again.
Yeah.
If I were feeling that in the spirit, then, mm-hmm, you know.
Right.
You know, I think most people, when they first come to a church, their baptism is to die, and the water baptism, full immersion, for the washing away of sins, which, you know, they're being taught is the only way you're going to get to heaven, so salvational. No one really talks about baptism, or it's not really taught, to put on the cloak of Christ. And to me,
that
is the thing that's kind of come out of this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is one thing to take it as an act of repentance and an outward sign of faith that you are committing yourself to God, but there is another level to that onion, as they say, when you say, I want to be baptized because I want to take on the cloak of Christ. And,
mm-hmm,
you just don't hear that.
See,
or at least I have never heard someone say that you need to be baptized to take on the cloak of Christ.
Yeah.
That's never taught. It's scriptural, as we've kind of gone over the last couple of weeks, but And I think, as we kind of danced around this a little bit, they're both important. I mean, I don't think that you can take on the cloak of Christ until you have repented,
right,
and died to self and have gone through that process. Yes.
See, and if that's presented to the person that wants to be baptized, and they get any kind of an understanding of first repentance and that, then, you know, who knows what's going to happen when they go down and come up.
Sure.
Something great might happen right then, or it's a building process,
mm-hmm,
you know, after. But it should be a tremendous first step for them,
mm-hmm,
or us, whatever, you know, because, mm-hmm, yeah, to have Christ in you, you know,
right,
or however it,
yeah,
does it say Christ in you, or put on Christ?
It says Christ in you, the hope of glory, that's one.
From baptism, I mean, is that,
that's not what,
but that's the whole point,
yeah,
of,
and there, for there to be
true,
yeah,
reenactment,
yeah,
a reenactment of his death, burial, and resurrection.
And
if we grab a hold of that,
I'm not sure. Even though we're talking about it and we're getting some revelation, I'm not sure that we have what the first church had. And that's kind of what my thing has been. It's like, do we understand that we're talking about Christ is a man and so forth, but do we understand who he is yet? You know, eternal life is to know him. It's to know the only true God. But it's also to know the man Christ Jesus that he sent.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not so sure that we know yet.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And it's not that we have to be rebaptized or, you know. Sometimes I think I should be and sometimes I don't think, you know. But the thing is, Paul said, oh, that I might know him. But and what he said was as a man, yeah, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, and be made to conformable to his death. That's
kind of like baptism.
It's like baptism, yeah. And I'm not so sure that we know him yet.
Well, then that's what we better be praying for, that God give us that.
And I think that the disciples, the early disciples, knew Christ in a way that we don't, because we have heard so much pointy baloney over the years that we don't really, you know. Do I still think of him? Do I still think of him and as dual personality? I mean, what do I think? Have I overcome the thing, or I probably haven't.
We know Christ. We know Christ. Do we know how he functions?
That's what I mean.
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't know that how he functions, it hinges your salvation. I know Christ. If I don't know Christ, I don't even know. But again, we don't know how he functions. You know, there's a scripture that Felicity made me this thing for my birthday. Of Psalms, someplace he says, "It's better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man." Mm. And I've always looked at the scripture as in like when you need help of any sort, it is better. I mean, it makes all kinds of sense. I could have written that without even reading it. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man. But I'm going to modify. The reason why I'm saying this is going back to knowing Jesus. The reason why I'm saying this is because it is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man. And man, and guess who is man? I'm also a man. So It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence on your own self.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
I think
used to think until today, like man, like around, but. I shouldn't put confidence in myself either, even in what in my beliefs so much, you know. Like, and that's why there's another scripture that we quoted in the past a lot. Trust in the Lord your God with all your heart, and don't even lean to your own understanding,
mm-hmm.
which it goes together with that scripture. So when we have a scripture and it's not at all clear, or several scriptures, or even who Christ is, we need to just believe the scriptures, and don't put confidence in ourselves in anything regarding the scriptures. Just believe them. Just mm-hmm. believe them. Who am I? You are the Christ, the Son of God. And in this I will build my church. You know what I mean? No, there are no chapters and chapters and chapters of Jesus, of Peter speaking. You are the Christ, the Son of God. And oh my God, Peter, you're so amazing. I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom and all that. And no one knows who the Father is except for the Son. And no one knows who the Son is except for the Father, and to whom the Son or the Son will to reveal him. So all this that we talk about is awesome. I love it. I wouldn't trade it for anything. But still, it is the Son who will reveal to us who he is, really. You know, so it's not our understanding or our confidence in ourselves. You know, so we do. long story short, we do know Christ. We do know Jesus. How he functions or how he does or thinks or sees everything or not, I don't want to spend any time trying to figure it out because it's not going to benefit my spirit in any way. What I do want to do, though, is I want to believe everything that is said about him. For us, difficult or spectacular it can be, and how I would vow to believe everything that is said about him in the scriptures.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there's a way to know Christ. Do everything he did. Walk like he walked. That's what it says. And when you know, the thing is, I know things will change for me when I finally, I hate to say it, get really serious and start calling on the Lord every day and saying, I want to be as perfect as you can make me be. You know, I want to turn my cheek. I don't want to have money. I don't want to, and all of those things, because all of them you're dying.
Father, we pray that in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
That's your own prayer right there.
Because that's what he did. He was totally unselfish, sacrificed everything.
Yeah.
I mean, how many people walk around and don't care if they eat and don't care how many clothes they got on and where they're going to sleep? I mean, if you get to that point, I think you're going to be identifying with Christ.
Oh, yeah.
As long as you're not doing it in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a work.
Not as a work, yeah.
Yeah, not as a work.
Yeah.
But from your heart. And I don't think you can know until you start going down that road, really. And I think he'll bring us there. If we make that our prayer, I know he will bring us there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because then he has many more sons, mm-hmm. like his son. That's what he wanted.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, see, what we kept being taught all the time in the church was, it's not that big a deal, just live good. And see, you haven't been taught that you have.
No.
You know, at first, when I first got saved, I thought, to me it was, I'm giving up everything.
Right.
I'm giving up everything for you.
Yeah.
Right now. You know, and that went good for a while. You know, it was working for a while.
It's hard to maintain that place.
Yeah. But that was, so if that was there without hardly, you know, without any huge revelations and a lot of whatever we've been doing, if that was put there, that was God's desire, mm-hmm. and it was to show you that it can be real, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And don't quit now, because I did go off and got worldly, got whatever, like all the rest. Well, no, I can. That can all be turned around, and you can be going the right way, you know. So it's kind of like, we can talk about it a lot, probably, and we can get little points of revelation that will maybe prick our hearts. But I think till we really, really say, this is really what I want, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Honestly.
Yeah. I guess my own feeling is, and I don't know, but my own feeling is that it is the thing that you want, I want to. I think that timing is ordained by the sovereign moving of the Lord's Spirit. You know, and until that occurs, it will be a fleshly work.
And a point, like you said, well, the disciples knew him. You know what? They didn't the whole time, most of the
no time
they're walking with them.
No much.
You know? How many times did he keep saying? How many times do I have to say this?
Yeah.
So there came a point when he said, now you can know me,
right.
Evidently.
Right.
You know? And
right.
And it probably was, you know, when the room, you know,
yeah, was
because they did go up there and they did obey what he said.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And they didn't know why they were doing it, you know, but they went up and they prayed, you know, and they were gathered, and they were waiting in faith, and then he honored it.
Yeah, there's no indication after the Day of Pentecost there of any confusion or
right.
or big fundamental mistake about it.
Yeah.
Peter learned there from that vision and so forth that it, the Gentiles were included, but
right.
But
yeah,
there was
they,
no
were, they were given the revelations after that.
Right.
But there there it was like there was no problem with dedication anymore.
No.
They were sold out.
That seemed to be.
You know, I want to touch on that. I believe we are not of the world. But I guess, and we are not where you say we should be either.
Right.
But I prefer to be, I don't want to be lukewarm.
Yeah.
But I want to be, anyways, so, okay, I want to read here, super short. Again, he says, here Jesus is speaking of the, how the kingdom of heaven is, like this. And he says here, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys a field. So, okay, another one. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and found it. So, see, the second one I read, the merchant is us, the pearl is Jesus.
Yeah.
So, we are after Jesus right now, and we are finding him, but when we really find him, we are going to go and sell all that we have so we can buy this, so we can have it. In other words, when we truly find the Son of God, all of our possessions and interests and everything are going to be worthless in comparison to what we have found. You know, that's what the kingdom of heaven is. At least that's what I think it says.
Well, like,
what
the,
it is. Yeah.
Like the other setting where the young prince asks him, what else can I do? And he says, sell everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he walks away because he's not ready to make that commitment.
Mm-hmm.
I was interesting listening to both Ken and Pablo talk, and as Ken was talking, I was kind of listening and heard something, and Pablo kind of responded back to it, because, you know, I get a little concerned when we say, well, we need to know, you know, because not so much need to know. No, definitely would like to know, but why wouldn't God let us know? But then Pablo came back and said, I don't know. You know, and so I was just sitting there having this kind of going back and forth in my mind about, you know, blind faith, extreme blind faith. I mean, a lot of scriptural references to that. I mean, you know, Daniel got in that fire and he did it on blind faith. There was nothing that he could see that would make him think that he's going to be okay, but he did it anyways because he trusted his God. Now, he didn't know how, but he did. So, but there's nothing wrong with wanting the Holy Spirit and asking him to show us and guide us into more truth. But I do get, for me, I'm just saying, okay, I want all the Holy Spirit will give me, because I can't get too much of that. But if I don't know, I don't know. And then one other thought that came up to me is, you know, we're talking about baptism and the disciples going on doing all the baptizing, you know, and we don't know what wasn't recorded, although we know there was a ton that wasn't recorded. And so we don't know how they did that, but it's quite possible that they had some instruction that wasn't recorded. And this is one of those areas that is meant to be not for the wise man to figure it out, but for the spiritual man to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, let me just say, the pattern for us right now seems to be opening up further knowledge,
mm-hmm.
further spiritual knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
It's my sense that the thing we're being called to isn't so much operate in blind faith, although I suppose that could happen on something. But he seems to be shining more light and, you know, making it, you know, things that we didn't know before, making those things clear. And well, I guess I see that happening. Well, with baptism, is that happening to in a measure? And maybe that measure will get bigger.
God's will is for all men to be saved. Is it going to happen? That's his will. Mm. Is it going to happen? According to the scriptures, no. Mm. You know, few there be that find it. You know, and then the next thing, and we took the liberty of using the repeating the word because that is what it says. God's will is for all men to be saved. God's will is also for all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay, and have we reached it? Are we going to? We're going to get more truth, but are we, you know? But then it says, for there is one God. People don't know that. They think there's three, and a lot of people do, and there's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. How many people understand that? You know what? Including us. And that's the point that I'm starting to understand or realize. It's like, okay, I see it, but, you know, God's will is for all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. And when the Holy Spirit is comes, he will guide you into all truth. Meaning what? Is it more than what we got? We don't have all truth yet, do we? So what do we do? Do we worry about it? No. I'm not saying worry about it. But we got to take the scriptures into consideration. And so, what do I need to know? Or what should we know? Or what besides having the thing and the faith issue is a big one. Do we just believe it, you know, believe what the scriptures say? Yes. So people in the Bible, they are baptized because somebody told them they should be like the eunuch. You know, what did he know about baptism? He says, baptism in water, what does hinder me from being baptized? You know what I mean? And so what does he know about it? He knows nothing, just like what we knew. But there's an element that I keep considering. That I'm not worried about the whole thing. I'm not worried about it. I'm pricked about it. There's something inside of me that is pushing me. But do I intend what it is? No. But I want to know him. And I want to know everything about Christ that I can know. And the first disciples did not know it. Even on the day of Pentecost, they still didn't know. They were learning, and we've got maybe the rest of our lives learning. But there's something that God wants us to know. And there's something about Jesus that he wants us to know. You know, Jesus was a created being that God had in mind for eternity.
You know,
who is he?
You know, the reason why we are all gather and we go to church and we open the Bible and read it and eat it is for eternal life. Because eternal life is the ultimate object. The only object, that's really, or whatever, however it's worded. And yes, so the will of God is that all men be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. I'm going to live forever. Now, how the amount of truth that I have in this earth, as long as I make it, you know, if I make it to heaven, I would assume that what God gave me is truth. And when I'm in heaven, I will definitely, trust me, I will know him. I will know that I might know him. If I don't know him in this life, totally, I will know him in the next one. You know, and I don't want to believe a lie, that's for sure. I don't want to believe the devil, because that might jeopardize my eternal life. But if I know a little bit of truth, or how much, you know what? I want to be in heaven, and whatever there's left to know, if I'm going to learn in heaven, or if I'm going to learn on earth, you know. And I don't want to make light of knowledge. I don't want to make light of truth at all. Because without truth, you can't make it either. But, you know.
Where it says, in 2 Thessalonians, where it says that because they received not a love of, they didn't receive a love of truth. And what has happened is, and I've been there, you know, church after church after church, is that we're satisfied with the doctrines of the church, how that church believes. And I'm saying that God wants us to receive his love for the truth, and so whatever he brings us, we can grab a hold of, you know what I mean? And one of the biggest issues is the humanity, is who Christ is. Who he is what matters. It matters to us. It matters, you know. So what do we see? We see him as a second member of the Trinity. You know, what do we see him as? Or do we see him as a man like us that God has blessed and glorified and exalted? You know, what do we see him as? And I want to see him as the Lord wants me to see him. And even so, even more so than, I can't say more so, but the scriptures keep giving us more and more insight. I want to know him I want to know as I'm known. And of course, that won't take place in this life probably, but.
See, when Jesus comes, we will see him as he is.
Yeah.
Which I wonder if that's suggesting that we don't know him as he is right now.
And it could be.
You know what I mean?
And it could be.
I'm just throwing stuff out there. I'm not.
Yeah.
Back, you know.
Well, I don't know either. I just.
You know, I'm thinking of that verse, of course. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. You know, as I sit here right now, I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Do I walk in it? No. You know, but I believe that there is one God, and I believe that Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus.
Okay. My question then is, okay, you believe that, and I believe that. But you know, sitting around us are thousands and thousands of people who don't believe that.
Well, but first I got to know that I believe it.
Okay, so then what do you do with it?
Well, then it's like, God, what do you want me to do with it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but see, in that saying that, do I use him as my mediator every day? If I use him as my mediator every day, maybe I would know more about him.
And I'm thinking that at some point, all of the mantle is in rest on those that do know him.
That's the other thing. We can see, we keep saying we want to, you know what? Maybe you're not going to know him until God says, okay, now I'm going to let you know him. Yet you mentioned that they didn't know him up until the day of Pentecost. What happened?
The Holy Spirit fell and they knew. Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, yes, we and I, these things, I love this because, and I know we're getting little points of revelation, but it's like, and I guess you want to keep seeking in that regard, but part of it is...
That's what I kind of meant by blind faith.
Yeah.
Because I understood your, you know, your pushback, Trevor, but I don't know everything I need to know to make this something that I'm just willing to do. But I'm willing to do it anyways because I have faith that God will meet me. And that is, in my mind, quote-unquote, blind faith. That is saying, I am committed to doing this, even though I don't understand everything I need to know as to why or how. I'm still committed. And I really appreciate what you said, Pablo, because I felt that way, that sometimes we get hung up on, you know, it's like, you know, getting to heaven. Not where, I mean, I'm sure there's benefits, but I don't know in the big scheme of things whether I'm at the table or I've just squeaked in on the last one in the door. If heaven's heaven to me, I think it's all glorious. And that doesn't, you know, take any pressure off of me to strive for the higher calling. But,
so, yeah, when Paul says, I want to know him, he doesn't just say in his burial and his resurrection. He says in his suffering. Well, how many of us sitting here want to know him in his suffering right now and are willing to suffer?
Is that what it means? To know him in his suffering, like to suffer for Christ?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I mean, willing to be stepping out there and taking whatever comes at you for your sin.
I'm willing to go to death right now. Nice and warm in here.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like, but maybe God hasn't put us in that place yet, so fine. But I know that if you get put in that place, you'll know Christ a lot better. I know you will. You know, especially if you're doing it from a heart and giving God, saying, hey, thank God I'm going through this in your name. You know, and if you can say that truly, you're going to be closer to Christ than you've ever been, mm-hmm. You know, yeah. In that aspect.
Is this just part of the test, Lord?
Yeah.
Is this just another part of the test?
And, you know, and I'll be honest with you, there's things I'm still doing that if I would quit doing them, I would probably be closer. Why? You know, so a lot of it's me, you know.
The lower nature is hard to beat.
Right.
It really is hard to beat.
And you know what? Maybe that takes suffering to beat that. I mean, suffering within yourself to say, I'm going to quit this no matter what. Whatever, you know, and keep calling on the Lord for strength. Not in yourself do you want to do it, because then it won't last, and that's probably why some of the problems have been. But.
Talking about suffering, you know, I consider myself like a big chicken because I pray, Lord, in my life, I don't know, just whatever, but don't make me suffer. I'm like, if for whatever reason, anything, Father, take me right now. Take me right now, but don't pull me through stuff.
Please.
I'm a big chicken. I am a big chicken.
The Lord's Prayer calls for, you know, we are to ask for our daily bread.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we've got to, hey, if you really want to suffer, you've got to miss out on a day's
right.
meal. You know, miss out on the daily bread.
Yeah.
So, you know, but we are instructed to pray for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like, yeah,
right.
Lord, give us our daily bread unless you see otherwise. I mean, you know, I mean, but you can't, but you want to let him know that you know that's where it's coming from.
Yes, yes.
For one, and when you do get it,
sure,
you know.
Sure.
I don't, you know, that's just one aspect of it. I look at those disciples, those apostles,
And for the most part, they were dying to self a lot. And they're walking around with Jesus, and you think they aren't hearing things? You know? You're of the way, you're a cult, you're this, you're whatever,
right.
You know? You know, and I'm sure they, well, they weren't getting a lot of income as it was, as what they were as an occupation, you know? But then they, after a while, it's like, I'm sure after they saw that 5,000 people get fed with that little bit of loaves and fish, that maybe we don't have to be concerned about that, you know?
There was probably
twice.
Mm.
I don't know, you know, it's I think personally for me, I just think when you're not ready to really die to self, there'll be a big difference. You know? And hopefully you guys are all at that place, but I know I'm not.
No, I agree.
You
I agree
help
with
you if you are.
Yeah, no. Oh, nor am I. Many other things make too big a difference.
Yeah. You know, and at one, you know, there was a time when, remember when we were, oh, on OPVs, I'm listening to music, da 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 da, and you know, it was probably an innocent thing to want to get rid of that stuff, but some of the motivation was wrong too, because it was just like, well, if we do, it'll make us better. Well, no, because in your heart, if you don't want to get rid of it, you'll get rid of it, but you won't make you better because
right.
You're still thinking you want it. You know?
Right. It's the wrong, it's a backwards message.
Yeah, yeah.
It's you first come to God.
It's through legalism.
You
know,
you first come to God,
thing.
Unlike the parable, you know, on the kingdom of heaven. So you, when you find God, then nothing else matters except God. You don't fail, you don't first, nothing else matters, so you can find God.
And I don't get convicted anymore by a lot of these people that it looks like they're living a better life than me, but you know what? They don't have the truth. They're just living a better life, maybe, in the natural, somehow. But if they don't have the truth of who Jesus is, they're nowhere, really. I mean, you know, in a sense, I don't know if maybe that's too strong a statement. But
like,
what
people
it seems like from what we've been getting revelation, it's not a small thing. You need to know who Jesus Christ is.
And not only that, but the Bible talks about being baptized into Christ. Christ is man. If Christ is anointed man, that's what the word means. Being baptized into Christ? I don't get it.
Well, yeah, because if you look at it like, well, what? I'm baptizing into a man. Man's the part that's weak. Why do we want to be into another man?
But we do because that man has overcome the world and the devil.
Yeah, that spiritual man.
But whether,
you know,
the first... The first man was of the earthy.
I was just going to say.
The second man was the Lord from heaven. But the Bible says that God has made this Jesus that you crucified both Lord and Christ. God made him that.
But the part I was going to... And then it says, first comes the natural man, but then comes the spiritual man.
So as we have borne the image of the earthy...
Yeah, that we bore the image of the heavenly.
We bear the image of the heavenly.
So
I'd like to get baptized into that.
Yeah,
I'd like to get baptized.
That's being in the Christ that is spiritual. You know, sure that's what.
You know, Jesus says, "As I overcame,
natural man,
you can overcome." Mm-hmm. That's what he says.
He said what?
As I overcame the devil, you can overcome. As the world, I can. You can overcome.
Yeah. Do I believe that? No, because I don't live it.
But anyway,
I mean, that's one of the points that if you want to put on Christ, believe that and start living like you know.
Walking.
Yeah.
You know, baptism may be in some way fundamental to all those steps. You know.
You know what? The baptism into Christ is not something that I have ever known. It doesn't make any sense to me. I want to.
Yeah.
It's one thing just to believe it, but it's another thing to walk as the disciples did. They not only believed it, they understood it. It wasn't until a few centuries afterwards that they began to change the identity of Christ, and so they're baptized into a deity.
So Keith, if that's your heart and you put that before the Lord, it's all you can do, isn't it?
Yeah, that's all you can do.
I mean, if you say, I want to be baptized into the
resurrection.
Into Christ.
Christ.
Yeah. Well, then it's like then you got to kind of almost, don't you have to quit pondering on it then and leave it up to God?
Well, the other thing is, I'm not getting the answers that I want yet.
See, there's a problem, though.
There may be some steps that we get.
There's like, a problem.
Well, maybe there is some kind of, just as baptism is a, you know, you get yourself in the water, you know, to get down. Maybe there's some steps to getting.
Well, here's what I would say with that, how to put it before the Lord. If you need to do that, Lord, show me.
Well, fair enough.
You know, but otherwise, bring me to that being baptized into Christ, whether it just be because I want it, you'll give it eventually. But saying, I want it now.
Well,
you know, and you know after you said that, yeah, that you didn't mean it, I'm sure. That,
well,
I want the answers.
I wanted to assume that I'd get it.
Well,
and asking for it is a step, of course.
Well, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Putting it before
and
the Lord.
Yes. We are this close to a major, major area of understanding. We're so close.
But we're not going to make it happen in our minds. You know?
But the Holy Spirit is going to reveal it.
Right.
It's going to happen. Because there's a whole area of revelation concerning Christ that we don't have yet. We've got the basics, but there's a whole area that we don't have. And it's available. It's not that God is going to keep it from us. You know, Paul was taken up into the third heaven. You know what the third heaven is? Paradise. Mm-hmm. And he said that he was given, he was taken up into the third heaven, into paradise. And he saw things that were that he couldn't, you know, that it was 14 years before he ever shared that vision, that experience. It's 14 years later. He said, I knew a man about 14 years ago.
Here's what I was going to ask earlier. When he says, oh, that I might know him, where was that in his walk?
That was a long ways.
Yeah. So he didn't have that revelation right away either.
Well, maybe he never did have it.
I don't. Well,
maybe he never will either.
Well, I don't know, but you know.
Well, he had the revelation, only it wasn't there.
Yeah.
And he knew he was still seeking it.
And fervently desiring it too.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not there till God gives it. I know.
The Bride of Christ. Is Galatians 3:27? Is that, or is there another place?
I don't know what. 3:27.
Yeah.
To put on Christ.
Yeah.
Read it. How does it read?
Okay, so is it 1:26? For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew or Greek. There is no slave or free. So this is kind of saying again what I started saying to it, like, this is what you did when you got baptized, you know.
Yeah.
Not when you get baptized, this is what you need to know, you know. So it says again, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. When we got baptized in the name of Jesus, we put on Christ, and that was the beginning of our salvation. That was, you know, so again, and then the Holy Spirit comes and gives you understanding. So when I got baptized, this is what I did. You know, it's, this is what happened to me when I got baptized. Did I know that then? No. That because it's God the one that gives the increase.
Yeah, and kind of like, aren't you, in a way what you're saying is you can't look for the baptism to be a magical moment that all of a sudden everything is transformed.
Right.
It sounds like it comes and comes and comes after.
Right.
You know, that's the, you know.
Like getting the ball rolling.
Yeah.
Well, you become born again at that point.
Right.
But that doesn't mean your walk finishes.
Right.
It starts.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I think, your point. We talked about this too, but John 3:5, Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Which I think is a verse that ties water baptism with the Spirit of God, and that's both, and that's putting on Christ, and that's, you know.
Oh well, is that be baptized with water and?
Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So I think it's saying
baptism.
It's baptism, but baptism both the
baptism
water and
automatically gives you the Spirit.
No, I don't think it's saying that.
Oh,
it's just saying it's both
water and baptism.
Maybe
baptism in water and baptism in the Holy Spirit.
Well,
perhaps. Although I wish he'd been a little clearer.
Occasionally you hear someone say water baptism. So, what other baptisms are there? Is there spiritual baptism?
It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire that Jesus baptizes you with.
Yeah.
Right. So, there's the one in the natural, and then there's the one we really want.
Right.
I mean, we need one, and I think one kind of leads to the other.
Now, that was prior to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ that they were talking about that baptism. I wonder if baptism changed its significance once there was the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I don't know.
Yeah.
But see, Jesus went...
Because that was when he was sanctified.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but I don't know. When Jesus said what you quoted, he wasn't like, well, and this is how it goes, until I die. I mean, it's forever.
No. I like the scripture because I just thought it was tying together some of what we've been talking about tonight, which is putting on Christ is really a saying way of trying to have the Spirit, the Spirit within you. And this is saying, you know, kind of need.
See, your testimony, Charlie, when you were baptized, that wasn't just a so-so baptism.
No, it sure wasn't.
I mean, you came up and didn't want to smoke anymore. That is a deliverance.
Right.
Most certainly was.
Right.
I mean, that is a miracle.
Yeah.
It was.
So, you know, it's like, but that doesn't happen to every single person, you know.
No, so you couldn't go preach now, hey, when you're smoking, get baptized.
Yeah,
that's not
right. And, or it'll help you quit drinking, or it'll help you, you know. That's, I have just a little whispering that says, don't make it a thing.
Yeah.
You know. Don't make it a do-all, I mean a solve-all or whatever.
Yes, no, that is right. On the other hand, if it somehow can be an occasion for truly fully God in Christ, that's not a thing. That's a real thing. You know?
Right,
pretty
God thing.
Right, that's a thing.
So what do you do if you get baptized and you don't feel that?
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Dang.
If it's the desire of your heart and the Lord honors it, great. That way, if you don't honor it, doesn't mean he's turning you away. I don't know. That's hypothetical, so you can't really.
It occurs to me a lot of baptism may just as well be infant sprinkling, though.
Oh, sure. The way a lot of it is presented.
A lot of it may as well be that, for crying out loud.
For as ineffectual as
really. As far as affection, you know. You know, what is the big difference?
Unless, now, you're that person, and it's 20 years later, and you're sitting in this group saying, boy, now I know why I did that,
but
Pablo said, you know, that makes sense to me, in a sense, the way he put that.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't know any of it then, but now it's kind of like,
yeah,
that's why I of it. I don't know.
Did you consider smoking a sin?
It was certainly interfering with my walking with the Lord. Mm-hmm. It was something, and it had somehow erupted. I don't know if it was intrinsically a sin, but it was a significant impediment to my moving on with the Lord.
And the reason I ask is, if you look at baptism as a washing away of sin, and you consider that a sin, and the Lord took away the desire to smoke from that event, then you could say, okay, there was not that you went into it saying, I just want all my sins, I want all my sins to go away, and then the Lord answered that one. And that's not an insignificant one.
No.
That shows a victory.
Oh, at the time. And it was a struggle between the flesh and the spirit. Smoking was very definitely an area of the flesh. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to have victory over the flesh. Yeah. Over the flesh. I wanted the spirit victory.
I don't know how you look at that. If it's actually, it could be sin for one person and not
yes.
for another.
I believe that.
And that's why the question is, did you consider that
right,
a sin?
Right.
Because not saying that you would or I would, but did you?
Right.
Because it's a personal thing.
Right, right.
And if you did, and you said, well, you were sure going to label sin, but you knew it was holding back your walk.
Yeah. For me, I think.
But did you say, but I don't think you connected it to being baptized in the time, probably.
No.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's interesting because you say, and not everybody has the same reaction.
Right.
And so you go, well, why? And I said, well, but then.
God knows the heart of it.
Yeah. And we're not at the same
place. Okay, well, I'll probably be here in the next 5-10 minutes.
So it's. I would expect it would have a different impact on each and every one, because each and every one is at a different place when they make that commitment. And when you made that commitment, you had that in your heart that this is really kind of holding you back. So God did it. Maybe that was the sign of faith to you.
Well, it most certainly was, because it was a miracle. I couldn't do it. I really couldn't do it. And then, I really could. That was a miracle.
That's tough to refute that.
That was more that than it was worth saying, not saying.
An example that would be, you had an experience that no one's going to talk you out of it.
That's right.
It's like, well, what do you say? Well, I don't know, but I'm telling you, I had this experience, and I'm crediting God.
And he really helped me. I mean, because it was this impediment to my getting all on with the Lord, say it or not, but it was a very definite impediment. I was given instructions by Dick Wright to stop smoking. rightly or wrongly.
The old, just do it. I mean, come on, just do it.
Yeah, right.
Just quit.
Whether you would right or wrong, that's what those were my instructions, and so it took on a, and the Lord, Lord, we have a very gracious God.
I had a problem since I was just a little guy, and nervous something about and so I picked my fingers. I picked the fingernails. And my fingers were such that I would keep my hands like this so nobody could see them. It looked horrible. And when the liver started, and back in 82, and I don't know what happened, but the Spirit of the Lord came on me that night, real powerful. And I have never touched them since. But you'll still see me sometimes go like this because of the habit of the past, because they look so terrible.
I am more convinced now than I ever was. I want the Spirit of God.
Well, The thing is, you know what, Corky, you know, you say that, Ken says that, Charlie says that, I say that. There are not a lot of people around us that do say that. And that's the whole thing with this baptism thing. We need to get, I feel we do, we need to get to a place that we can properly instruct it. Were you instructed in baptism before you were baptized?
Oh, haphazardly.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what we used to do. Was it wrong? No. We brought what we knew to bring in. But when I baptized people, I didn't baptize them into the name, into the man Christ Jesus. I baptized them into who knows what.
Yeah. Today, I would enjoy sitting down and talking to someone for 45 minutes or more
and
about baptism.
And you can do it.
Prior to.
Yeah.
Do you have all the answers?
I would have stuff to say.
No, you don't have all the answers.
Yeah, right.
But God will give us some answers that we don't have.
Yes.
And that's one of the reasons that we're doing this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I bet during that 45-minute session, I would learn some things that I didn't know at the beginning of it.
Just by teaching it.
Yeah, right.
Because they would come to mind. God would cause them to come to mind. And so, is baptism important? It's 1,000 times more important than I realize at this moment.
I'm a little bit inclined to think, agree with you.
Yeah.
It's not very strong way of saying it, but
that's pretty lukewarm,
brother.
But
I
don't feel that I'm wrongly asking for it.
Yeah.
No.
I really want to know.
Well, that's
the rule. Will he, if you really want to know, will he give it to you? Yeah, he'll tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
I got a scoop. Sorry.
Okay.
Charlie, with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good
okay.
See you, Charles, tomorrow.
Oh, thanks.
Yes. Yes. We'll pray that.
Yeah. God bless you.
Yeah.
I would tell your sister Pat. I was super impressed with her. I really was.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I think she said, "Boy, that service was better than anything I've ever would have." You know, just I think she otherwise would have had.
That whole service was actually aimed geared towards her.
I heard a whole bunch about her that I didn't know about her. I didn't know she was that devoted. Actually,
spirit
filled.
Yeah. Mm.
I don't think maybe I knew a long time ago, but. Just haven't seen her,
One of the things I was impressed with is the fact that she don't go to church.
Okay. I'll tell her that.
Yeah.
And now that's Jennifer's mother, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Yeah.
God bless you.
Yeah. Bless you.
Give our love to him.
Okay.
I haven't seen her for many, many years.
No, I haven't
either. But I'll tell you what.
God used her.
It wouldn't take long to know that she's Charlie's sister.
I know. Yeah. They sound her and Jennifer. And it's amazing.
And you hear,
I know.
You hear the conversation. They're way, way off in La La Land somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's very, very smart. And so is Charlie. But anyway, I'm not trying to be difficult. There's something here that God wants us to get into. And when we start teaching baptism, we're going to teach it from a different perspective than we ever have.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are being baptized. You know, the Bible says that when the Israelites come out of Egypt, they were baptized into Moses. In the cloud and in the sea. What does that mean? I think I know.
A type.
It was a type, but not only that. It was God's chosen vessel to lead them out of Egypt. And so they were baptized into God's purposes for him. And we have to be baptized into Christ as God's chosen God, he was God's chosen vessel to get us out of whatever this world
Egypt
Yeah, out of the Egypt of this world.
Yeah.
And I don't know that maybe some of the revelation just came as we're talking about it. But baptism, it does save you.
I'm kind of at the place where the need for baptism goes from something you just should do to something that's vitally important.
Act of a good conscience.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a new Christian, what you do is you get baptized.
Don't you feel better after you've been baptized? You just naturally do. I did too. I knew nothing about it.
But you didn't get to finish yourself.
I'm sorry.
No. I was pretty much it. I stopped because the one experience in my life when I really had a feeling of elation was out of my first confessional as a Catholic. But it's very similar if you think about it. Because at that point you do this and you're told that God has forgiven all your sins and you have zero guilt for the first 15 or 30 seconds afterwards because your mind hasn't caused you to sin again.
Right.
But I mean, the act of baptism is to do the same thing. It's to basically wash away all your sins and make it possible for you to have eternal life. But, again, that was just kind of part of the being a born-again Christian package. It wasn't because you were having a deep personal relationship with God. It wasn't so that you were inviting the Holy Spirit into your life. It was just more full immersion and washing away your sins. It was kind of like making that declaration that you're a born-again Christian. And you made a comment, Pablo, and I waited a long time, but you're right, because you were saying something like, you know, you don't just inundate someone with, you know, 19 levels of understanding and revelation when someone asks you a question, you know. You kind of like give them something here, and if they keep asking questions, and you go a little deeper, you go a little deeper, because if you kind of come after someone and go, you know, 19 levels down, when they say, hey, I got this one little question, you know, I don't want to say scare them off or you're driving away, but I think you do more damage than good.
I'm sorry.
No, what about it?
I was just trying to see the settings for some of the people that were baptized, and how much knowledge did they have?
Not much.
You know,
but
that doesn't mean that God doesn't want to do something different now with people that want that. You know what I'm saying? But like at Cornelius' house, how much have they heard things about Christ, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and he was a lover of God before there was a Christ, you know, because he was following the Jews, God, you know.
But they were not thinking of Christ in the way that the church of today thinks of Christ. He was the Messiah that was going to save Israel from the other nations.
Do they have the revelation he was the Messiah at that point? Or was
I think Cornelius probably did.
Some of them did. And so they're set up and talk to David forever. You know,
Cornelius wasn't a. Was he? Who was? He wasn't actually a Jew, was he?
No, he was a Gentile.
So he was a Gentile. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
that's why Peter had the keys to the kingdom, and he introduced the kingdom to the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
It got him in all kinds of trouble.
Yeah,
because the Jews were upset with him for going to the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "I was directed to go." But anyway, they had a different concept of Christ than the church today does. They saw him as a man. Peter saw him as a man. John saw him as a man.
Do you see him as a man?
I'm starting to. We've been talking about it.
I know, but
I still haven't. I know that I still don't have the.
Well, I see him as a man, but then it's like his other attributes aren't necessarily connected. I mean, they're a spiritual part that you want to know of him.
Exactly.
You know? I mean, if you come to the revelation now that you know he's a man.
I'm not saying I don't.
Yeah, you must, because.
I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm saying.
Wait a minute, where are we?
Well, yeah, I think you said. Well, you clearly know he's a man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way you kind
I
of,
hope that.
The way you phrase it was like, did something shift and I miss it? But I think the bigger part of it is that he's a man with the fullness of God, and what did that mean?
Yeah, that's something to seek.
That's the
part fullness
of
God.
The spirit, you know? The spirit of, the indwelling of the spirit. And again, I come back to that. All I can do is make myself available and be diligent because it's his timetable.
So on the day of Pentecost, Peter calls him a man approved by God.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And one that God had made both Lord and Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sure that was Peter's understanding. I don't think that it was above his. He was speaking above himself. I think he understood that he was the man Christ Jesus.
Because he was a servant.
You know, okay, so we come to the understanding that he's a man, he's not God. And one of the main issues, like, because if he was a God, then it will be impossible for us to be like him. And
yeah,
exactly.
But you know what we're doing? Because he's a man that is full of God, we are also, I think, we're making it seem like it's unobtainable either.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't do that.
No.
And listen, Jesus says, and the Revelation says, Jesus is the firstborn of the creation of God. What does first mean? That there's a second, a third, and a fourth, and a third. Not
well,
the only.
Well, in another thing, he said he's the first fruit.
So right.
So
but I want to concentrate on the word first.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, first. So first means that there's lots of us after that.
Right.
So whatever Jesus is and being full of God is not this unattainable goal either, and it's not hard to comprehend. Well, maybe
no.
Hard to comprehend, but it's obtainable. And it should be desirable.
Except the future be defined.
There is a future be defined, yes. But that doesn't mean that there's an unattainable. It's, yeah. But in the other words, there will be something defined.
Yeah.
And the real revelation is, it's not something that Jesus did. It was something that was given to him. Now,
mm-hmm.
Obviously, you
yeah,
are right.
Yeah, yeah.
But the power that he got, the power that he had was given to him.
Right.
And if we walk that
mm-hmm.
way, it can be given and will be given
right.
to us as well.
Everything that Jesus is and did, it was given, like you said, was given to it. And all of our, everything that will save us is also given to us. It's given. The love for the truth and whatever else is given to us.
You're
it's not earned.
Your overriding point is it's
yeah.
attainable for law.
Yeah.
That's
well,
what
that's
I said. If you believe, if you have faith, you can move on.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it says in 2 Thessalonians, because they did not receive
mm-hmm.
a love for the truth. That means God wanted to give it to them,
right?
And they wouldn't receive it.
Mm-hmm.
You know why they didn't receive it? They're already full of all of the truth.
They already thought they had it. Yeah.
They're Catholic, or they're Lutheran, or they're Methodist, or they're Baptist, or they're Pentecostal.
You know. I think, just a thought, when Jesus was going off and spending time in prayer instead of sleeping, I think he was saying, Father, give me what I need. Give me the power I need. Give me to do your will. Give me, you know, for tomorrow, give me whatever. Just, which is what we should be doing in the same manner. And eventually, if you're praying that every day, you're probably going to keep getting fuller of God, more full of God.
You know, you think that, you know, because Jesus is who he is, and because he was, you know, whatever, that he wouldn't have the need to pray. But Jesus was constant mm-hmm. prayer.
Yeah.
Now, if we are, but you know, anyways, I want to go back. So, if Jesus, you know, full of God, but it is available to us to be like Jesus was.
Right.
Because we can also be conceived spiritually by the Word. He says, you are conceived by the Word. So, which is God. You know what I mean? We can be conceived of God also. You know, and he's a man and full of God. How? You know what? Not my business. You know what I mean? He just is. You know?
Well, but then you should be asking for the same thing.
Right, right. You know? Yes.
But what we don't notice or what we don't take into consideration, it says that we are begotten by his will. By the word of truth. It doesn't just say by the word. It says by the word of truth. By God's will begot us. You know, like Christ was begotten, the only begotten Son. He begot us by of his own will, by the word of truth. So how important is us receiving the love for the truth? It's vital.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's vital.
See, and Jesus, you know, Jesus was conceived by God,
yeah.
And we ought to be conceived by the Word of Truth. So
yeah.
Jesus was the Word made flesh. Now us are a bit backwards. We are flesh made Word, made Spirit. You know what I mean? I think we just have a little backwards things. But we can obtain what Jesus is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because it says the natural first and then the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And for us, in a sense, it's referring to Jesus in the same way, but it says, and the natural had to be first, then comes the spiritual. I mean, that's the way it pretty much says it. I'm paraphrasing a little, but so... You know, it's
this baptism issue, that's not really brand new to me. I have been convicted, I don't know if that's the right word, for a long, long time. It's like we either have to do it now or you guys are going to do it after I die. You know what I mean? But at some point you're going to do it. Because, we're going to understand better why, so that we can explain to people they're going to be in a better position than we were when we baptize them. You know, I would baptize, Don Burnett baptized me in the name of Jesus. I still believed in the Trinity. It took a long time to get the concept out of my head. And even then, Don Burnett didn't have the right understanding. So he had him with a dual nature. Sometimes he talked like God, sometimes he talked as a man. You know, it was a goofy thing. You know, so this is all part of my upbringing. This is who I was. Even as I pastored the church, or whatever we did here, it was not a right concept. So messages that I brought, there was always false doctrine dragged in by me. I mean, not that I meant to. And God had mercy on us anyway. We saw some phenomenal things. But the more truth that we allow God to give us, the more truth we'll have to share.
Amen.
Amen.
Are you following me?
Yes.